Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to the Balance Podcast. Thank you, as always, for joining us. The reason why I've apparently turned into Jeff Stelling is because it's a momentous day here at the Balance Podcast. It's the first time we've ever had repeat guests on. And what a thrill for those repeat guests to be two of our absolute favourite people. It's the Bosch boys, Henry Firth and Ian Theasby. And not only do we have the Bosch boys on a very special episode of the Balance Podcast, but there's even going to be a cook-along with the Vegan Boys, a Veganuary cook-along, Friday the 15th of January, 2021, depends when you're listening to this. If you're listening to this in 2022, forget it. It was last year. You missed it. I'm so sorry. It was amazing. This Friday, I mean, I really am. This really does depend when you're listening. Friday the 15th of January, 6 p.m. on Balance Instagram, IGTV to the kids. It promises to be a spectacular event because of the Bosch boys. They are absolutely wonderful. I've interviewed them a couple of times now, and I swear there are times I feel myself talking like the Bosch boys. I'm doing it now. They emphasise words. I speak with my hands a lot, but they emphasise words with their hands. And I share their enthusiasm. I really do. I think they're fantastic. And as we talk about in this episode, my wife, I'm very lucky. I've come into possession of a couple of the Bosch books. I've gone full QVC mode. We've not even got to the episode. we've got a couple of the Bosch books, and my wife has banged out a good number of the Bosch meals, and they are absolutely terrific. So, and I said this last week, I sort of teased the Bosch episode. But if you are attempting Veganuary, and we salute you at Balance, or even if you're just eating less meat than you used to, and again, we salute you at Balance, I would strongly recommend the Bosch books. They are terrific. They are lip-smackingly, the recipes are lip-smackingly tasty. Not the books themselves. I mean, it depends how peckish you get. They're wonderful. And they've got a new book out, Speedy Bosch. And the USP of Speedy Bosch, such a good idea, is you can make these delicious recipes, but in less time. It'll take you around 30 minutes to make a Speedy Bosch meal with more than 100 new, quick and easy plant-based meals. God bless the Bosch boys. I think they're absolutely wonderful, as you'll hear in this episode. As ever, if you enjoy this episode, please spread the word, tell your friends. And here they are, the always lovely Bosch boys. May I say, I wish I'd written down the recipes, but my wife's downstairs trying to ensure the five-year-old doesn't either have a meltdown or interrupt. But may I just say, the Bosch recipes, since we last talked, have been a big hit in the Gill house, because my wife has gone, not fully vegan, but she's gone vegetarian. So we've certainly cut down the meat. This sounds like I'm doing full QVC for the Bosch boys. But I would genuinely say that things have changed quite a bit at the Gill house. And I would say you boys put that in motion.
Well, oh, good.
That's nice to hear, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, it's nice to hear that you're cooking the recipes. And hopefully that means that you've been eating well.
I would say eating well. If I'm honest with you, on lockdown, as this would attest, a few too many nachos, if I'm totally honest. I would say it's been on in different ways as well. So one of the first things we did following our chat, what did we watch? Cowspiracy.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. What a film.
Yes, they smashed it with that film, didn't they? And what an eye-opening message.
Yeah, really.
And also, the one of the reasons why I loved it so much is because, I don't know about you boys, I was expecting this sort of thing, this over here, where it was going to be like Food Inc., and it would be shocking behind-the-scenes footage of farms and all that. And it's not. It's totally different, isn't it? I mean, it's the way in which it introduces you into that whole world is... I mean, it's frightening, really.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, that was the thing that made me go vegan overnight was seeing the facts that show presents in such a surprising manner, in such a well-narrated, well-story-told manner where it leads you through this voyage of discovery, uncovering what becomes kind of like a conspiracy of the environment and the food industry and essentially covering up the fact that the food industry is, and the animal agriculture industry in particular, is a really large greenhouse gas emitter, which, by the way, beforehand, we had no idea that was the case. No idea at all.
So true.
And also, and I don't want to get any of us shut down, like the documentary gets shut down halfway through, but the clue is in the title, in that there is some sort of cover-up going on, isn't there, really?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's certainly information out there that isn't made readily available for everybody. And there's certain sort of agencies and sort of institutions that would probably like to keep it that way.
Yeah. And it's just, there's just the archaic way that our systems operate, you know, the way that kind of some companies are funded. That's been going on since the war, basically, to encourage, like, you know, animal products to be grown and reared. And actually, if we were to subsidize plants and people who grow plants and make plant alternatives, we could, like, reduce our carbon footprint significantly. But yet we're subsidizing industries that are actually doing more damage to the planet. And, you know, we're not radical. We're not out there. We just want to kind of change the world for the better slowly. But there is some stuff that, when you know what we now know, seems absolutely bonkers.
May I just say that you both dealt with that very nicely and ensured that I will not be going to jail. So thank you.
So far, so good, anyway.
But I mean, if you've not seen it, do yourself a favour. It's on Netflix. I think it should still be on there. And I won't spoil it, but Leonardo DiCaprio, that's a lovely twist in the tale as well, isn't it?
Leo.
Yeah, he's the executive producer. I think what happened with that is that, like, he got to watch that film quite early on and then thought, Jesus, there's some fantastic information in here that the world needs to know about. I know I'm going to throw my weight behind it and sort of do a better job of the end product and sort of help the director, Kip Anderson, put something out there to the wider world. So, yeah, all credit to Leo for using his celebrity and his kind of power to shine a very, very important message onto the world.
Yeah, because it was actually when we watched it for the first time, we watched the pre-Netflix version. So you had to download it from just the Cowspiracy website and pay £10, which I think we did. So we watched that version. And then, yeah, it was Leo's edit that was the thing that got onto Netflix. So it's kind of like Leo saw it, was so impressed and was like, right, I want to help you get this on Netflix. I'm going to suggest a slightly different edit.
Yeah.
Let's do this cut up. And then it got on Netflix and then it became mainstream.
Incredible. I mean, and also, I mean, things have changed a great deal for you guys since we last talked and in the greatest way possible. Yeah, I mean, you've been, I'll tell you what, boys, if your confidence is ever low, just give me a call and I'll lift you both right back.
Every day, please. We're just in our cellar cooking food for camera. So sometimes you go a little bit stir crazy.
It's so true. Oh.
I've definitely dabbled with madness. I'll happily admit that. But because you've been at the, I'm going to use the word vanguard. You've been at the vanguard of this movement. You know, this new book. I think your best selling authors. You've got to number one. How wonderful has that been? I mean, I've enjoyed it. I've only met you once. So you guys must have had a ball.
I guess so. We got told by a publisher the other week that we're the UK's number one best-selling vegans, which was kind of mad to hear, but I guess it does kind of make sense when you add up all the numbers. In terms of how it feels, you know, we were just walking around the supermarkets today. And I remember when we were in one of the big four supermarkets doing a video saying, guys, you need to have a vegan aisle. And then today we've been walking around the supermarkets, you know, and they've got vegan aisles. So it's been really interesting to see the world evolve as we've been evolving and as we've been telling the world it needs to evolve. So I guess it's a pleasure. Mm. I guess it's been exciting for us to watch. But as with all humans, we probably it quickly becomes the day-to-day. And I think because it's our mission, we don't feel like it's done yet. So we still get up, we still come downstairs, we still turn on the video camera, film some recipes, or open up the computer and write some books. Our day-to-day is pretty much exactly the same as it was 4 years ago, except for the fact that we're not allowed out anymore.
Yeah, there is that twist in the tale.
Yeah.
But it must be the way, I mean, even the word vegan, the way it's used now, I mean, all those hack stereotypes, they're all in the bin now, aren't they?
I think for someone who has their finger on the like cultural pulse, someone like yourself, you probably have heard the word vegan so many times now and read about it so many different places that, for you, it's probably like, yeah, vegan's just normal now. But I think there is still a lot of work to be done to sort of normalize plant-based food and normalize plant-based eating. I mean, a lot of work has been done. Like, obviously, there's a lot of people out there who have done some fantastic work. But I think that the second that we start resting on our laurels and the second that we stop working hard is the second that things maybe start reversing. So I think we do need to carry on drilling it home that plant-based food is a fantastic way to reduce your carbon footprint and to have a really positive effect on the environment and obviously on just kind of agriculture in terms of animals. So I think it's a lot of great work has been done, but still there's a lot of work to do.
I mean, there was on the comedy circuit, there was this hack gag, you know, probably in like the 90s about there's been this running gag where vegans love to tell you that they're vegan.
Yeah. But which is true, by the way. It's very true.
You think it's true? I think it's...
I do.
Don't you?
I reckon so, yeah.
So you don't think it's true?
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, lads. I was not expecting that.
Really?
I think it's new vegans do tend to tell you, because obviously for them it's like something huge that they've just done, and it's a big part of your life. You know, you've completely changed the way that you eat, so it's something that is probably making you feel good. It's probably making you feel as if like you're doing the right thing in terms of the planet. So yeah, it's the sort of thing that you want to shout from the rooftops. But as you've been in it a couple of years, I think you simmer down a little bit.
Yes, totally. Yeah, and then you don't want to tell people because you're kind of, you don't feel the need to.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy.
It's a bit like when someone's moving house, right? Like they always tell everyone, oh, I'm just moving house at the minute. It's so busy. Yeah. Or if you're into CrossFit as well, that's another bunch of people who love to talk about what they do. Yeah. So I do think there's some truth to it. And we've both been there as well.
So true.
Boys, I think, bless your modest hearts. I must admit, I've got into on lockdown. I'm not going to say the brand because I'm certainly not, it's not paid for content. But let's just say there's a certain cycling app that I've got into on the exercise bike that before lockdown had been gathering dust and is now saving my marriage. but I can't wait to tell people that I'm using that. So maybe you're right.
I think we may have that same thing, and it's a great thing.
Yeah, it's one right behind us.
But we won't mention the name. The great thing. You were on it yesterday.
I certainly was. I'll be on it later on this evening as well, I reckon.
I tell you what, let's. I've made myself blush here. Let's fall down that rabbit hole. Do you have a favourite instructor? I'll tell you mine. Cody Rigsby, I think he makes me laugh so much. My wife will be in another room. I'm laughing at Cody Rigsby's classes. Have you got involved yet?
Cody Rigsby. He's a big bashy personality, right? And I have done a couple of his, but I think the reason why I don't do more of them is because I really like Ali Love.
I'm writing this down.
Ali Miss Love, right, on Instagram.
That's right. So she's this like really happy, smiley, mixed race woman. She's got this big afro and she's just hyper positive every time that you're doing a class with her. And she definitely sees you over the line.
So I'm just trying to remember mine because I was worried I might forget. You know how sometimes things just pop out of your memory when you want to remember them? But so my go-to is absolutely Robin NYC. or Robin, Robin Arzone.
Yeah.
Her surname is Robin Arzone. Her Instagram is Robin NYC. I think she is the lead coach, it says on her Instagram. And she is such a motivator. So not only does she like take you through the ride, but she sets you up for the day.
Yeah.
She tells everyone that they're queens. You know, we're all kings and queens here.
Oh.
But then also there's a British version of her called, and I'm sure she wouldn't like me saying that she's a British version of her, but she's got the same like positivity, motivational style. And she's called Hannah Clarkson. And because she's British, she plays drum and bass music.
Oh, nice.
Which, so it. I enjoy hers as well.
This has been an education. I'm writing all these down. Thank you very much. Education ways I wasn't expecting. Now, a lot of people will be doing Veganuary, and it's important that they stay the course. Mrs. Gill did Veganuary last year, and this has been her own personal journey into all this, and you boys helped her there. What can, straight off the bat, what can people expect in a positive way? How will they feel, ways, changes they may experience?
Well, I mean, I suppose we've got sort of five top tips that we usually
boys.
When someone is about to sort of enter into plant-based food or like Veganuary or whatever. And I think the first one is basically, if you're going to do Veganuary, you should definitely pay mind to your nutrition. Like you should start thinking about maybe taking a vegan multivitamin, not because you need it, but because it's just good practice. And also because there is B12 in there, and B12 is the one thing that you can't find in a plant-based diet that you definitely do need to consider.
So tip number two would be to eat the rainbow. This is a really easy tip, a really easy way to remember what healthy eating looks like. It's just get lots and lots of color onto your plate. We're not talking about Skittles. We're not talking about rainbow cake. We're talking about colorful plants that are either, you know, purple, red, white, yellow, orange, green, all of those colors. Get as many of them into your body on a daily basis as you can.
Yeah. And the next tip, Henry just actually mentioned the color, it's green, and it eats your greens, because green leafy vegetables like spinach and kale and cavolo nero, they are really extremely good for you. You shouldn't ever underestimate the power that the green leaves have for you. So yeah, eat as much green as possible.
And then we would also say for tip number four, mix up your plate. So really just... And any dietitian will tell you this. You want to make sure you've got a mix of carbohydrates and proteins and fats with every meal. And you can actually, there's a kind of a rough approximation that about 50% of your diet should be coming from kind of fruits and vegetables. And then about 25% should be coming from protein sources, whether that's like tempeh, nuts, tofu, that kind of thing. And then the other 25% would be whole grains, so kind of sources of carbohydrates. Obviously Ian mentioned the B12, and then lots and lots of water.
Yeah.
So it might seem like a lot to remember, but it's basically just don't just have a purely carbohydrate breakfast or a purely protein breakfast. Make sure there's a nice mix of all those things on each plate.
And talking about mix, the last of the five is the 80-20 principle. Now it's basically 80% of the time, eat well. 20% of the time, eat naughty. Have that brownie, have that vegan burger, you know, have those like vegan marshmallows on top of your vegan hot chocolate, and just enjoy the food. But yeah, 80-20 is a really good life principle. And if you do that, you'll end up feeling healthy.
Lads, I mean, that was mentally, I'm giving you a standing ovation. I want you to know that. Consummate. Professionals. Now, again, I'm not just saying this, but I mean, some of the stuff you've come up with and some of the stuff my wife has made, I mean, it is absolutely sensational. I mean, the two of us will sit and we'll be eating it. We're both like, this is remarkable. How does it feel to have had such a positive impact? Not just on a small scale, but on such a big scale.
I mean, yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really.
It's humbling. It's endearing. It's an absolute honor. Mm. It is a privilege to be able to feed people, and to be able to connect with them on such a like personal, intimate level. And I reckon we probably still don't appreciate the scale of it or the importance of it, because again, as we keep saying, we're locked up in our basement. Mm. But when we do hear messages from people just like that, it's an incredible thing to hear. And I'm really pleased about that.
Yeah. And I'd like to add to that, for any listeners who haven't heard of Bosch before and are thinking, oh, these two foodies, these two chefs, it must be really difficult to cook meals. Like, it must be really, really complicated things on a plate, like the sort of thing that you'd see at a Michelin star restaurant. It isn't that. What it is normal food that happens to be vegan that also happens to be really, really tasty.
Yeah, and I wonder if that there's something in that, you know, like, so I can't remember who it was for the other day, but someone was asking me what, it was a taxi driver was asking me about fine dining vegan and vegetarian restaurants, and there aren't really many. There's not many experiences you can have like that, particularly in London. But I just don't think we're into that kind of fine dining realm, you know. He asked me what my favorite restaurant was, and it was just like a chain that's in London. Yeah. It's like, but I feel like we are quite normal in our approach to food, and that might be why normal people like our food. It's not too showy, it's not too aggressive or too hard to eat. You don't have to have 2 hours free or, you know, a Michelin star in cooking to put our recipes together.
And the genius idea of Speedy Bosch as well is because I think some people are immediately not just with vegan food, with making food from scratch in general. Oh, it's going to take ages. Whereas, can you just say a bit about this new book? Because when I, you know, when I was reading about it, I just thought, oh, of course, what a great idea. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, so this is the fifth book that we've done, and it's the fourth cookbook. The first book that we did was Bosch, and that's basically we just wanted to write a book which was plant-based food for everyone, just sort of veganize the classics. And then Bish Bash Bosch, our second book, was all about those classics, but just a little bit more detailed, like a little bit more like fake meat in there, like a few more difficult techniques, but still incredibly tasty food. Then it was all about healthy for healthy vegan, which is the third book. This one was Speedy. And the reason why we wrote this is because we just listened to our audience, of which there's quite big on social media. And we just kept reading the comments and kept asking the questions on Instagram stories. And people kept coming back saying, yeah, can you do a Speedy book? Because the food that you cook is amazing, but sometimes the recipes can be a little bit long. So we just addressed that problem headlong, and Speedy, I think we're really pleased with it because obviously every recipe is 30 minutes or under, and every recipe is as delicious as any of the three books previous to that.
How do you feel a little bit like a bit like, you know, Wile E. Coyote when he used to wait for the explosion to go off? Are you a bit like that every time a new book comes out? You almost can't, the anticipation is always so huge.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Oh yes, yeah, it's terrifying. Yeah. It's terrifying when you're wondering whether or not you're going to be a bestseller. Mm. Yeah. It's terrifying when you are wondering whether or not you've got a mistake in there. Because
they're going to like it.
Yeah, because people will find. But most importantly, it's terrifying when you want to find out what people like. And I think the reviews on, you know, the main shop online that people buy books from, the reviews on there are really, really important. So you're kind of watching with bated breath to see the first reviews come in. And actually, the first reviews are often bad ones. Mm. You often get a couple of bad reviews come in first.
Yeah.
But then luckily later on, so far so good. Anyway, the good reviews will outweigh the bad. But yeah, I mean, you never know, do you?
No.
We could come up with a dud.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed that isn't the case and it won't happen yet.
Someone did just say, they put a comment on one of our Facebook groups, on the Team Boss group. They said that they thought Speedy Boss was our magnum opus. Now, I think that means best work, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Opus definitely means work. Yeah.
And magnum would be like the magnificent.
Yeah, yeah. So that's nice. Whoever it was that said that. Thanks for that.
Great.
That was me nodding as if I actually did Latin at school.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine had a book out recently and he got hit hard by, he thinks were trolls, just as, like, he thinks it would have been impossible for them to have read it. So like the book came out and then it was just like one star, one star, one star. And it just felt like a personal attack because they didn't like him. He's quite well known. Was it a similar thing? Do you think there's some of that? It's almost a troll thing. And then eventually the good will out and the proper feedback kicks in.
I don't think it is in the case of those reviews. I think it genuinely is just, there are some people who just don't like a book and they pick it up and they're so annoyed that they don't like it that, you know, they're incensed and they want to write a bad review.
I think sometimes somebody might be really annoyed because, like, it's got lost in the post or like it's got the actual page, like the front cover might be scuffed because it's been smashed outside. And that, like, gets you one star, which, like, if at the beginning, say you've had 100 reviews and 10 of them have been less than 2 stars, then it's kind of, it skews it negatively.
Yeah.
So, you have to sort of take that into consideration. But like Joe Rogan says, I think the best thing to do really is to just not read the comments, because they get, like, if you're getting really good comments, it's an inflation of your ego and that's never good. And if it's really bad comments, it's kind of like it can really get you down and that's not good either. So I think the best thing to do is just carry on rather than like reading the comments. It's kind of just like having conversation with the audience on social media to get a true grasp of like what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. We always read the comments on social media.
Yes.
But it's just those Amazon reviews where we don't always. And I guess the other thing that some people moan about is, there was a couple of people said there were too many recipes were the same.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, yeah, but we've literally said we've reimagined the Bosch classics to make them faster.
Yeah.
And there's only 6 out of like 100 and something.
Yeah, there was a mac and cheese in there.
We did another mac and cheese and another chili, but we made them so fast. Yeah. So, you know, you're getting a mac and cheese on the table in 20, 25 minutes. That's a really great thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But obviously someone didn't think so.
Do you need to be careful with reading the social media? What I mean by that is, so I'll speak very generally here. Instagram, for whatever reason, in my experience, tends to be friendlier, whereas Twitter can be an absolute bin fire. So do you pick and choose the platforms? Or are you just reading everything?
I mean, I think we're not huge on Twitter. No. We do use it, but it's not our primary focus.
Well swerved. Yeah. Some of the stuff out there is like, oh my god, you know, awful.
But we are being told that we should do it more. So I think we are going to do more tweeting.
Okay.
About 10 years too late. But the others, so Instagram and YouTube and Facebook, I mean, I guess we just have to. We have to be there because it is our community in a way. And although sometimes you get the odd troll or someone comes in and writes bacon or just starts sending ridiculous pictures, generally it tends to be kind of self-policing a little bit and people talk amongst themselves. And so I think we have to be there pretty much.
Yeah. I suppose maybe it's just like the actual service itself. It's kind of like with Instagram and Facebook, you kind of use it as a tool for publishing the content that you make. Whereas Twitter, you're just engaging in conversation with people. And we've always been about like, just give people things that they will make really good choices with. And like our like comments and conversation on Twitter, like some of the stuff that we might say might sort of resonate with people, but I think we can have better a better impact if we just carry on popping out amazing recipes.
We're not putting out opinions either, are we? That's the other thing, like we're just making food. So how angry can you get with someone who shows you how to make a thing to eat? I mean, you can, and people have, but I think by and large, it's probably less inflammatory than if we were telling people who we want to vote for, etc.
There's an Australian comedian called Sarah Kendall, and she used to have a bit about, like on YouTube, you could literally type in butterfly sitting on a flower, and you watch the video, butterfly sitting on, and someone's disliked it. And she's like, what?
Yeah,
what were you expecting? You know,
no.
So I think my point is that some people are just, they're just going to hit dislike or comment negatively, aren't they?
Absolutely. Well, I remember reading once that, say, if you were a restaurateur and you've cooked a meal for someone, and if that person liked the meal, really liked it, they'll likely tell one person. But if you've cooked the meal and you've just let it slip and like maybe dropped a ball and maybe it wasn't as good as you could have done, and the person who's eating the meal didn't like the meal, they will tell 10 people.
Mm. So make sure you cook a nice meal.
I know it's crazy, but the thing is, it's like the negative sort of comment is way louder than the positive, I feel sometimes.
And also that's probably a British thing as well, in that, you know, a lot of British people love to enjoy, especially as, you know, us three Yorkshiremen. I mean, it's a hobby in Yorkshire, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, moaning, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's either you talk about the weather and moan about that, or your family, or, you know, whatever happened on the bus this morning.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It sounds endearing with a Yorkshire accent.
It does.
Is there evidence that veganuary, and this is a genuine question, is there evidence that veganuary is a positive thing? I.e., does it have a good track record of sticking?
Do you know, I don't have the figures off the top of my head, but I think so. I wish we'd come prepared with evidence.
No, but I mean, I guess it can't be. I mean, it can't be a bad thing at all, can it?
I mean, I would say that veganuary have had a huge impact, like potentially majority impact on the number of people eating more vegan food. They've definitely had a majority impact on the number of restaurant chains stocking vegan items on their menu, because it's a moment everyone can get involved in. It's like a new Christmas. They've had a tangible impact via those two things that I already mentioned on the supermarket stocking vegan food. I think we've helped there too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say they've had more impact than almost any other body. But there are some proper legends behind the scenes, like a buddy Dawn of ours at PETA, and you know, like people in the vegan society, and there are some people who've been pushing this agenda for potentially decades, and maybe don't get the vocal praise that veganuary do, but have also had a big impact.
Yeah.
Now, thanks to you boys, I would say I would consider the aubergine. I'm closer to the aubergine now than members of my family. are there any other hitters that we should be getting into our lives? What I'm getting at is, in 2021, is anything going to topple my new best friend, the aubergine?
Well, I mean, there is obviously jackfruit. Is still like one of those things that people are getting really into, and it's becoming more and more popular. But there's a new kid on the block when it comes to that sort of quirky food, and it's called banana blossom. So it's in a tin like it is with jackfruit, and it's probably going to be put out by the same kind of brands, because it's probably from the same kind of areas. And the idea with banana blossom is it is literally the flower from a banana plant. And what you do with it is you brine it, and then you cook it like you would fish, and it's got exactly the same sort of like flaky texture as fish. So we've done it before. We've made a vegan Cullen skink, we've made a really nice vegan fish and chips. Henry did a fantastic Goan curry to mimic fish, and I think that that particular ingredient could have a big future in 2021.
You see, that is the kind of red hot insight that genuinely, that's one of the reasons why I love you boys so much. That is knowledge I simply do not have and can only aspire to have. Banana blossom. Thank you very much. From the new book, Mrs. Gill. You know what? No, I will endeavour to try my best. Is there anything that I should be having a crack at from the new book?
Oh man, there's so many we could name, but I guess I'll give you two.
Yes.
And you give them two.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because then you've got a selection. You can choose your favourite, right? So my first favourite would be Henry's 30-minute lasagna. Henry's frying pan lasagna.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, it is a lasagna in a frying pan, as the name suggests. You don't need to roast it. Doesn't go in the oven for 2 hours. You can have it on the table from scratch in under half an hour. Easy.
Amazing.
It's incredible. That would be my first choice. I guess my second choice would probably be the little tofu satay lettuce and herb wraps. Again, because it's a speedy book. Everything is under 30 minutes. Excuse me. Freudian slip there. It's a speedy book. So we'll just take a moment, shall we? I don't even know what a speedy bush is.
No. Wouldn't mind finding
I'll send you the video afterwards.
Yeah. Okay, great. Because it's a under 30 minute recipe. Under 30 minute book, it's incredibly fast, but it's so delicious, man. You've got these gorgeous little tofu sticks. They're covered in the perfectly marinated satay sauce. And then you wrap it all up in fresh herbs, which is what you'd kind of find if you were to go to like Indonesia and have those wraps all wrapped in a gem lettuce leaf. Absolutely delicious.
Yeah, that's the amazing. It's delicious. I'm going to give you a dessert first. And the dessert I'm going to give you is something that I'm sure your 5 year old.
Yes.
Appreciate, right. Well, this is a frying pan cookie. Okay. So I wouldn't suggest that your 5 year old eats the entire cookie. But what you could do is make it together and you cook it in a small frying pan. And what you're left with is a ginormous cookie that you can chop into slices almost like a pizza and have it with some dairy free ice cream. Delicious thing. It looks so cool. It's great for Instagram. And the second one I'm going to say is savory, and it's butternut squash carbonara.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because it's like the butternut squash is obviously such a wonderful vegetable, super flavorful, really healthy. And when you cook it down with the sage, like we do in this recipe, it's just super creamy, super delicious, and very, very easy to make.
Mm.
Yeah.
I cannot thank you enough. Before you go, how many times have you had that moment where you've had the doubting Thomas, that's my Sunday school coming in there. You've had the doubting Thomas, and then they've tasted one of your meals and have literally gone, no, there's no way that's vegan. That must happen quite a bit, I imagine.
I don't think this happened that much.
It's happened in our house.
Because everyone knows when we're cooking for them, they know what they're in for. You know, they know what's happening. They're already ready.
Yeah.
I think the one time that, in fact, there's two times I can remember that happening. Both of them were on this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And one was with Rylan, where we served him mushrooms, mushroom chili, and he didn't like mushrooms, but he ended up liking it. But the other one was with Boyzone. Mm. One of the members Mikey Graham off Boyzone was not impressed to begin. It was the main guy, Ronan Keating, yeah. He was not impressed by the fact we were cooking vegan food. He wasn't interested, or at least that's what we thought from looking at his face. But after he ate it, he was like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, I'll bet.
We made a burrito cake, didn't we?
We certainly did. That burrito cake was good. I've just recently started dating somebody, and for her birthday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. For her birthday, I went round to her house, and she's got 5 brothers, all of which aren't vegan, obviously.
Hang on, this explains why you were around visiting my wife. And then, makes sense.
Why has she got 5 brothers?
5 brothers.
Oh right, yeah. It's quite an interesting first experience, isn't it? As the new boyfriend, meeting all the brothers at the same time. And anyway, what I did was cook them a vegan chili, and they absolutely loved it. And I made the chili from our first book when we used mushrooms to replace the meat, and they were all very impressed with the texture and obviously the flavor as well. So that was good.
That's amazing. Now. This is such a fan question. I'm sure you're sick of being asked this, but does the 2021 Bosch on TV? Do I care more about that than you do? You know, like some sort of ITV series, something like that.
Do you mean the ITV series for 2020?
Yeah, is there more TV for 2021?
Right. I hope so. everything obviously has changed a little bit in the world in 2020. So TV's changed, the amount of times we've been on TV has changed. You know, we've still been doing TV, but when we are doing TV, we're in a mask, and sometimes we're just doing it on Zoom. So I think the whole world has changed. Living on the Veg, the show that we shot for ITV, is showing right now in Australia, which is amazing, and it's being really well received. We may be doing another series. We don't know. We're kind of waiting to hear more about that. But we've also got some other cool, very exciting irons in the fire around the world of TV. So fingers crossed.
Yes,
basically, and we would be as excited as you would.
Yeah. Can I just say, you totally deserve it. Turning to your parents here, honestly, you're great boys. You're so positive. You've got real charisma. Sorry, I've now turned into your agent. Forget parent. But no, honestly, such a breath of fresh air. And so thanks for everything that you do. And I just think you're so wonderful at what you do. So cheers, boys.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate that. That's very kind of you to say so.
Yeah, it's so nice to have a conversation like this. Really, really appreciate it. And nice to chat to you again. Hopefully the next time we chat to you, you'll have cooked a couple of those meals and you can tell us what you think.
You know what? There's been a couple of times, maybe I'll edit this bit out, but there's been a couple of times where my wife has made them. What should we do? Just tag you on Instagram.
Absolutely. Totally. Yeah.
And then tag us on Instagram and then drop Becca or Megan a message to say, because we get a lot of tags, and then we'll be sure to get in there and repost.
Bless you. You know what? That would make her day. I wish I could remember the one. There was one in particular that honestly, she absolutely smashed it. Anyway, boys, thank you as always. Bless your hearts. And I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Such a pleasure. Legend. And have a great end of the year.
Right. Cheers, boys. You too.
See you later.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. See you later.
Brilliant. Huge thanks to the Bosch boys, as always. We did record that towards the end of 2020. A couple of references may have caused you to raise an eyebrow. Just wanted to explain that. Today, there is a new issue of Balance Out, the magazine, a minor publishing miracle to get a magazine out in the... I've got to stop saying the current climate, but you know exactly what I mean by that. It's going to be door dropped in specific areas. You'll see it in the balance boxes outside certain stations. There is, of course, the digi version. If you sign up to the Balance newsletter, you can get it that way. And as always, visit the Balance website, balance.media. We are across the socials at BalanceLDN. And it's the great Clara Amfo, the beloved DJ and presenter who is our cover star. So look out for that. On a very selfish level, today, Monday, January the 11th, 10 years to the day that I've been sober. It's a thing that I've talked about on the podcast a couple of times across 100 plus episodes. I've probably not talked about it very much, and I won't talk too much about it now. But not only if you're giving up meat this year, but if you're giving up booze, if I can speak from personal experience, well, first of all, I wish you luck. And the way I did it, if you are giving up the booze, I did it as quite a stubborn person. It was like I'd set a counter. And so if you imagine like the counter, day one, right, that was one day sober. Day two was 2 days sober. And then I'd hit a week, 7 days, 10 days. And then as the counter was going up, it was just the stubbornness of not wanting to reset the counter. And the thought of having to start again was the thing that made it, dare I say it, it made it quite easy. I know everyone's different, but that was how I approached it. If that helps you in any way, shape or form, just sheer bloody mindedness. And so by the time I'd hit, say, 100 days, I don't know how many days it is now, I just know it's 10 years, but it'll become 100 days, but then maybe you'll go 6 months, a year, 2 years and so on. If you just tell yourself, there's no way I'm resetting that clock now. I've got this far now. No way. Bit self-indulgent, but I hope you took that in the spirit it was intended. By spirit, obviously, non-alcoholic spirit. There's many available. Spencer Matthews does a very good one. We talked about that on a previous episode. Now, that was an episode where I talked about it. Maybe I'll talk about it again with someone on a future episode. I'm sure I will. Huge thanks, as always. Your support means the world. And huge thanks again to the Bosch boys. Speedy Bosch is their new book. And as ever, it's an absolute triumph. Take care. Lots of love. Speak soon. I've been James Gill. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.